الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها نعمة. الحمد لله على منة الولاية وكفى بها منة. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أشهد أن سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا النبي المؤيد والرسول المسدد والمصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. على آله الطيبين الطاهرين سفن النجاة الأعلام، من ركب سفينتهم نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك وغرق. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we have been saying, and in particular yesterday, that the three powers, namely the power of passion and anger, power of imagination and invention, and the power of lust and sensuality, can in fact possess divine aspects. Yani if I am able to train these three powers to be in line with the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these powers can in fact possess divine attributes and divine powers, and can bring felicity and good luck to man. It will help man attain his duty in life. It can help man attain the desired goal as it has been set down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When can we do that? When can these powers in fact attain these divine attributes and divine felicity for my progression, for my progress? If they are subjected to the dictates, as I've said earlier, of reason and good sense, if I employ reason and good sense over the power of imagination and invention, then I can be rest assured that these powers will come to my advantage and will come to my rescue. The teaching plus not only the dictates of reason, because sometimes the dictates of reason needs to be regulated by something else, and that something else is none other than the teachings of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course of the household of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhim ajma'in. That is on one side. On the other side, these very three powers can also, by the same token, become satanic forces if they are unleashed, and the power of imagination in particular is allowed to rule and lead the other two powers, the power of anger and the power of lust and sensuality. If the power of imagination and invention is allowed to roam free without being regulated by the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of the Prophet of Allah and his household, then it will run loose and it will take over the other two powers and things will be out of control. However, in regard to these three powers, we don't find in the teachings of any prophet or in the teaching of any scripture, including the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for the total eradication or erasing of these three powers. But rather, they advise for the control and regulation so they would function under the command of reason and divine laws. Yani, I can have the ability to think and imagine, but this imagination of mine should be within the fold of the Quranic teachings and the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. If these powers are let loose, What will happen? You will find that the bestial self, yani the animalistic part of myself, would become determined to reach its goal, even if it is resolved on committing the most heinous crimes. Yani if I let loose that power of imagination, that power of lust and sensuality, that power of anger and passion, and it is not controlled, and these three powers are not controlled within the dictates, I will allow myself, due to the empowering of the bestial side of my soul or my body to commit the most heinous crime, even to the extent that I may see myself, wal-iyadu billah, committing adultery with a married woman in the holy Kaaba. To that degree, that beast yourself will allow you. Otherwise, can anyone explain to me what made Amr ibn Sa'd, fully knowing the status of Al-Imam Al-Husayn ibn Ali salawatullahi salamu alayhi, knowing that when Imam came and spoke to him, do you know of any grandson of the Prophet other than me? They said, no. We know that you are the grandson of the Prophet. Do you know that Ali ibn Abi Talib was my father? Do you know that Hamza was the uncle of my father? Do you know that Ja'far was my uncle? Do you know that Khadija al-Kubra was my grandmother? Do you know that Fatima al-Zahra was my Yes. Every time he mentions a name or a quality, yes. But Amr ibn Sa'd then tells Imam Hussein, but there is no escape but to kill you. Ajib. Why? Because the power of imagination was overruling every other power and faculty in that person. And what was the power of imagination that Amr ibn Sa'd was thinking about? If you think of it, wilayatul ray. Subhanallah. He wanted to be the governor of Ray. His imagination blocked in front of him every other quality of Al-Imam Abi Abdullah Al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, that he could not see the truth anymore in lieu of a worldly gain. And the majority, in the majority of cases, and in the majority of time, God forbid that we fall. How many times we find ourselves, unfortunately, in the same position as Amr ibn Sa'd? And when we complain, for example, about the actions of certain companions that did not hold fast to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many times we find ourselves also falling into the same traps? How many times? We criticize them, we analyze the faults and shortcomings in their life, when we are better off using these examples to find faults in ourselves and to regulate our own shortcomings so that we will not follow suit what these people had actually gone through by letting loose the power of imagination and the other two powers to take over from the divine good qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to hold in us as human being. Salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Therefore, the only way that this self can in fact attain total salvation from this world, in order to gain the bliss of the hereafter, if it is made subordinate to the divine laws and principle of good sense and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. If I find that myself cannot be made subordinate to any law that I find in the book of Allah or the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that I give preference to my hawa, to my imagination, to my sensuality, to my invention and anger over these principles, then I cannot attain the salvation that I desire on the day of judgment and during my life in this world. I would find myself drifting, wal-iyadu billah, towards every vile character and vices, and I will commit them sometimes knowingly and unknowingly because it becomes part of my nature. How does oppression grow in the life of humanity? Oppression grows in the life of humanity through two main given situations. Number one, when there is no communication between two individuals that advise one another on what is right and what is wrong, amr bil ma'ruf and nahy an munkar, and it is exacerbated by silence. It is exacerbated by silence. وَالظُّلْمُ يَحْيَى بِالسُّكُوتِ. الظلم يحيى بالسكوت. Oppression survives through silence. Because people when they want to test the reaction of others, people who want to invent a vice, people who want to introduce a bid'ah, an invention or an innovation, how do they do it? They will act in front of people in public in regard to a particular issue that is a vice, and they will see the reaction of people. If people don't react in the negative as to what these people are inventing, then they will go further. And they will spread wide, left and center. And they will introduce another vice, and another vice, until that vice becomes the norm, becomes the normal reaction or the normal behavior among people, as opposed to the true nature of a human being. For example, the Qawm of Lut, Sayyidina Lut salamullahi alayhi. How did the issue of that particular sodomy prevail among them? According to some tafsirs of the Quran, it is also mentioned in Tafsir al-Amsal of Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, if you want to refer to it. You will find that these people used to chastise wayfarers, you know, people who are traveling and coming into their towns, because these people had orchards, and these orchards used to bear fruits. So these people used to come, wayfarers, and pluck these fruits and eat them. As a way of chastising them, as a way of punishing them for taking their fruits, they used to make them strip their clothes away and run in public. Now, no one raised objection to that form of punishment. And they started, as a result of that, have a certain appeal towards these men running, walayyadu billah, undressed. Until they started indulging in fornication with these men. And no one raised objection among them. It became the norm. That vice became the norm and the overwhelming prevailing situation among the people of Lut. And so much so that Sayyidina Lut salamullahi alayhi, he used to advise them that the girls of our town are better sought in marriage than your, you know, awful actions of pursuing such a vile and a vice. They said, no. مَا لَنَا وَبَنَاتِكْ. We don't want to ascribe to the honorable action of marriage. And that is how vice spread left, right and center. Now, these days, before 30 years ago in the West, the concept of sodomy was totally banned even by laws in parliament. It is against the state law to be engaged, wal-iyadu billah, in this sort of activities. And they were punishable by jail. If anyone was caught, penalties and jail. So the concept of Adam and Steve was not allowed. It is only Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Steve came. So they said, no, Adam and Steve now is all right. 30 years. It took them to change the laws. Why? Because people were advocating for such nonsense. And people kept quiet. And they started inducing in the minds of people things to the effect that, you know, you can't blame these people because this is an inborn nature. Yani Allah created. Allah created this. You want to do something bad, which is satanic, and then you attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We gave him the balance. If we created him with the potentials to be a man, he will have the qualities of a man. With the potentials to be a woman, he will be a woman. He cannot cross from one another. And they started introducing medical support, and until now, they failed to introduce a legitimate medical support to prove that case. But people accepted it. Now the West is against another concept. What is that concept? They call it pedophile. I say give them 30 years. Give them 30 years and they will legislate it in parliament. And they will say, yeah, it's okay, because there is social benefit from the person who's utilizing that minor to his advantage. Why? What are the social benefits? Because that's how people think. What are the social benefits of Adam and Steve? You know, I'll give you an example. In Australia, they used to have a parade. The parade was a major parade that unfortunately, they used to call it the Mardi Gras, the Mecca Mardi Gras. Why? Because they want to link the crowds, you know, the intensity of the crowd to the intensity of the crowd when people go to Hajj. So they use that term to describe that parade. How many people used to attend that parade in Sydney, Australia on a yearly basis? 250,000 people from around the world. The government said this is a very lucrative deal because this is bringing tourism. So they allowed them to use one street in the middle of the city free of charge. Free of charge, because you're having 250,000 people coming from all over the world to spread. Now this is how they utilize their thinking. Now pedophile, okay, we have too many homeless people. If that man can look after these homeless people and get some lustful, wal-iyadu billah, benefit from that minor, no problem. It's all right. And that's how laws gets legislated, in a man-made law. That is the danger in man-made laws, because they don't think through divine inspiration and divine benefit for what is good for human. No, they think of it from their own perspective and their own benefits. And that's where the whole formula gets mixed up. And the whole problem begins to start. What are now the conditions for a person who is engaged in struggle against one's own self must observe? What are the conditions that I must follow in order to elevate that soul by the utilization of these three powers in the right channels? Number one, to control the flight of one's imagination. Whenever my imagination is running wild, I should bring it back into order and into line with the teachings of Allah and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like a bird. A bird is always restless to fly and sit on any tree. That imagination, when it is running wild, it wants to rest on something to fulfill that imagination. If I cannot contain that imagination that is running wild and loose, then my lustful inclination through that power of imagination would allow me, and I would find myself having to sit somewhere to ventilate that imagination. Whether it is killing, whether it is stealing, whether it is any form that you can think of, I would have to fulfill that power of imagination that is overtaking my thinking or the power of my reason. Number two, a person should firmly try to prevent his mind from nurturing corrupt and sinful thoughts. I should not sit or allow myself to be in a position where sinful thought may creep into my mind. For example, if I find myself in the company of few individuals, that these few individuals are introducing concepts in the session that we are sitting in that will make my imagination run wild, I should quit straight away and leave that session. Otherwise, I would enforce a change of subject. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ مَعَ اللَّاعِبِينَ. We used to engage in vain talk and just take this life as a play, as a game. And we did not pay attention to what these people were saying until we fell into these sins ourselves. Until we found ourselves engaging in the same actions and deeds that these people were advocating for. And sometimes, if we don't hold the rein of ourselves firmly and strongly, even someone who is praying may find himself losing ground. Why? Because he's not exercising a firm grip over that power of imagination, and he is allowing it to run wide and loose. Number three, divert his mind to noble ideas. Whenever I find myself amidst any ill thoughts or vice thoughts, I must immediately engage in something good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, what? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فهل من مدكر. We have made this Quran available for people to remember. Is there anyone to take heed of this ayat? Is there anyone to ponder and think about the ayat of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in this world? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once seated and Jibreel came to him in a very bad state. Jibreel was not very happy when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet asked him, why are you in that state? He said, and how I could not be in that state, and today manafihu jahannam, you know, the the blows of jahannam were at work by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ordered the blowing of fire for 1,000 years until it turned red, and an extra 1,000 years until it turned white, and an extra 1,000 years until Jahannam turned into jet black fire. Now, we've seen red fire, we've seen white fire, but black fire? Well, a'yadu billah, this I have not seen, nor anyone has even imagined. So Jahannam, Jibreel says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's jet black. فَجَلَسَا يَبْكِيَانَ. Then the Prophet joined Jibreel in crying. This hadith, by the way, is narrated by As-Saduq. And it's a very reliable hadith. فَجَلَسَا يَبْكِيَانَ فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمَا. Allah inspired to Jibreel and to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rest assured, you will never ever be indulging. I prevent you from indulging in any sinful activity that would cause me to make you taste or be indulged in that fire. But the advice of the severity of that fire is there for us to take heed. What are we doing in order to contain these three powers from not running loose, in order that we prevent ourselves from that fire? And by the way, what determines the severity of my fire is my action. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. Whatever they have done through their own action, they will find in return in the hellfire. And the severity of the levels of fire is determined upon my action, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, and how I behave and how I carry things out in public. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. To take hold of the reign of oneself, of one imagination, may appear in the beginning or in the initial process of trying to contain one's own imagination a little bit difficult indeed. But through practice and little concentration and attention and focus about acts of good deeds, and preventing one's imagination to indulge in vices and ill deeds, you would find that everything becomes easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pave the way for you to the roads of guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. Those who exercise struggle in our case, in our cause, for our sake, we will certainly pave the ways of guidance for them. We will help them be guided. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the situation and the condition of Ahlul Kahf. You know those youngsters. What did he say, Allah, about them? Said that they believed in Allah. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. What did we do to them when they believed? فَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. We advanced them in guidance. We progressed them. We made them progress in matters of guidance because they established the rule of belief in Allah. And what entails belief in Allah is to suppress and make these powers subordinate to the laws and the teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number four is to pay special attention to the vicious thought and vain fancies that are induced by Satan. Whenever these thoughts are coming, I must be prepared to rebel them. I must be in my fullest ability and awareness that what is happening to me now in that particular state of mind is coming through Satan. Be prepared. Straight away take out your traffic lights and compare what Shaitan is telling you to the rule of these traffic lights. Is what Shaitan is telling me a green light so I can go ahead? Does it conform with the teachings of Allah? If it conforms, go ahead and do it. If it is makruh or may lead to haram, then you should take the amper light, which is the orange light, and say, this may lead me to haram, so I should apply my brakes and not go further. And when I know that what Shaitan is advocating is totally contrary to the teachings of Allah and His Prophet, then I must have the red light flashing day and night in front of me, so that I would not allow the drive of my heart to run through that red light and allow it to stop and remain patient until there is a change in color and the green light comes my way so I can proceed further according to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall stop at that because there is so many points, and inshallah we will endeavor to continue these points tomorrow. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.